Hi, I'm Andy Morris, director of the Mignon Network, and I'm here today again with our friend Andrew. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, everybody. It's great to be back with you.
So, Andrew, we just did a podcast just about how to lead a family and just some of the dynamics of living overseas. And you have many years experience of living overseas as a child, as a single, and now as a married man. And so I think that your perspective is just really unique on those things. And so you have experience being a part of missionary teams for many years in each of those different capacities. And so today we're hoping to talk about what are some helpful principles in leading missionary teams. I myself had the privilege of leading a team for a few years in Southeast Asia, and you are now leading a team in the Middle East and Central Asia. So tell us a little bit about that for some background as we get going.
Yeah. Well, I'm a new team leader. I'm 9 months in. And so, while I've gotten to be a team member or a child of a team member for many years, this is, I'm still pretty green in the team leadership role. But have been excited to try to implement just healthy leadership that I've seen and try to avoid also some of the mess that we've seen in different teams over the years. You know, they say that conflicts with other team members is the number one reason why people leave the field. And so if that's true, then healthy team leadership is so crucial and so important. So we're 9 months in, and we have a pretty big team for our region. We have 4 families on our team and soon to be 3 singles.
Yeah.
So it's very different from some previous teams that we've been a part of. And it's a team that has, many of them have been there for 5 or 6 years. And so there's been some water under the bridge and already some significant turnover in terms of leadership. And so that brings some challenges with it for unity. There's been some significant differences over methodology that have also provided some challenges that we're seeking to work through in healthy ways.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. I agree with you. I think that for many people, the issue of teaming and working with other believers that you're tasked to work with can often be some of the most difficult things that you experience in ministry. And that is sad on the one hand, because, these are people made in God's image, ones that the Lord has died for, that they would be his people. And the reality that we can have such difficulty getting along and working together is a sad thing. And something that can unwittingly give a bad name to Christians in many far-flung settings, both, here in the U.S., but particularly in lost societies, that the only thing they know about Christians is these few individuals that they've met. And if they see that your relationships are so poor, then it can give a bad name to the gospel. Okay, so as we're thinking about a team, who is a team or what is a team?
A team would be a group of believers in a given context who have a very high degree of unity when it comes to doctrine and practice, and who also share a common vision for church planting. And so in our context right now, we sort of have 2 layers as we think about team. One is those people that are with our same organization, and we have been commissioned to be accountable for one another to this vision of planting healthy churches. But you also have another layer of team, and that's like-minded members of other teams, other expats, who are very, very much on the same page or like-minded in many ways. And then we also hope someday to have local partners be part of that broader team. And so those who have a high degree of like-mindedness when it comes to the gospel and the church, and then also who share a vision for planting healthy churches.
Yeah, that's good. Many people leave out from their home country or leave out here from the U.S., and they'll go to a foreign context, and they'll begin to try to live out what they have been tasked to do, which is sharing the gospel in this place. And so in the meantime, they're encountering tons of hurdles of culture challenges, language challenges, even permission to remain in the country as a foreigner is not something that's automatic. And so you're navigating all of these things, but as a team, you're often working with those, like you just said, from your own organization. You're working with believers that might already be there on the ground, whether they are national believers or other expatriates, just like yourself. So that is something that is a hard dynamic. And many people, if you think about a team overseas, it is very much, it's very much like if you took three families and two singles, all from different churches here in the U.S., and you really don't have a lot of background or experience with one another, but now you find yourselves as the only believers in this foreign context, and you are tasked to work together. Mm-hmm. And so if you can imagine just meeting people for the first time, really understanding who they are, and then trying to work towards a common vision that you have and burden that you have to see other people come to the Lord, it is something that really takes quite a bit of leadership and careful guidance and even shepherding by the team leader. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that is critical in the advance of the work. We see, what are some examples that we see in the Bible of teams? Can you give us a couple of
examples? I think the clearest one is Paul's apostolic band, as it were. And so you see Paul traveling with men like Timothy and Titus and Silas and Barnabas, and then also those like Aquila and Priscilla. And they are existing in a structure that's complementary to the local churches. They're planting local churches. Their team is overlapping often with different church plants, and even they're sending church back in Antioch. And so we see this structure in the book of Acts that's not the local church, but it's starting local churches. It's overlapping with the church. It's complementary to the church. And so we see the second structure, and I think that's a good precedent, New Testament precedent, for missionary teams, in particular church planting teams. So that would be a clear one that I'd look to.
Yeah, I agree. There's actually so many different individuals that are named that worked with Paul himself. Off the top of my head, I know it's more than 50 different individuals that are named in the New Testament. And so I know, like Paul, greatly revered, hero of the faith, and yet there were many key and crucial people that were helping to plant these churches and to see health emerge in existing churches after they were planted, and then also going on to plant new churches. Even like we were talking about earlier, Aquila and Priscilla, They met up in Corinth, they followed Paul over to Ephesus. Sometime later, they find themselves in Rome. And all of the churches of the Gentiles give thanks for these people. And so, like, it is amazing to think about those teams. And so as we talk about today, really want our understanding of what does it mean to be believers in a certain location, working towards a common goal of seeing others hear the gospel, have the opportunity to repent and believe, and then organize and plant it into churches. So how have you found in leading your team, what are some principles that you think are key in trying to keep people on track?
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, we are seeking to implement really counsel that we've gotten from you, Andy, and from others, just about letting time in the Word and prayer be the foundation for our team's unity and for our identity as a team. And so we're seeking to regularly be in the Word together. And so when we're in person, when we're all there on the ground, we have a weekly time where we're studying through the Word together, and another weekly time where we're praying together. So right now we're working through 1 Timothy and, you know, really seeking to let, like, as our hearts are moved and come alive to the Word together, as we're seeing, okay, this idea isn't coming from me or isn't coming from some other team member. It's right there in the Word of God. That we're not looking at ourselves. We're not looking at one another. We're looking at the Word, and that orientation towards the Word and that orientation to God in prayer is drawing us closer together. And we're really seeking to emphasize that as much as we can. So that would be the first one. But alongside of that is the idea of seeking to emphasize biblical principles over methodology. And so what we often see on the field is missionaries downplay doctrine and theology, and they really major on methods and forms as sort of the most important things. And that's just backwards. And so we are seeking to flip that on its head. And so with our team, to really emphasize biblical principles, what is the gospel? What is a true believer? What is the church? And to build our unity on those things and to move away from some of those conflicts about methodology that biblically aren't necessary. There are methodology conflicts that are necessary. But in our context, for example, there's been conflict over should we be house church only or international church only? And so in order to diffuse that conflict, we are focusing on a biblical ecclesiology, principles for a healthy church from the Word of God. And we're seeing that these biblical principles can be fleshed out in a international church, in a house church of Westerners, in a house church of locals, in a more traditional looking church of locals. That form where the church meets just doesn't matter when it comes to the presence of these biblical principles. There's a spectrum of biblical faithfulness there. And so we're opening up that spectrum for our team such that we can say we have unity. We don't have fluffy unity built on nothing. We actually have solid, rock solid unity built in these biblical principles. And that unity gives us freedom to work in these different forms. And so we're still early days, but we're seeking to emphasize biblical principles over methodology in this area and in many other areas as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I hear in what you're saying, like, just the great importance of leading the team in a God-centered way, and in a way that is orienting the team towards God and towards His Word, even like Paul when he was leaving the Ephesian elders, he committed them to God and His Word. And so as you're leading the team in a God-oriented way, mm-hmm. then it does take the attention off of some of these other pet issues, if you will, or things that can often be friction points, like I grew up in Tennessee, or you grew up in Papua New Guinea, or, you know, like just odd other definitions, or even like you're saying, like differences over methodology. And instead, the greater question becomes, who is this God, and how can we follow him, and how can we point others to him, and how can we care for our team itself, even in a way that the Lord has laid out. So that's really key. Can you give us an example of what a typical team meeting looks like for you all?
Yeah, so we've tried to shape even the structure of our team meetings to reflect these emphases. So often overseas, your team meeting is dominated by logistical details, by calendaring, by the details that come with your platform or your day job sort of work. And we really, and the time in the Word together, biblical principles, and then even sort of your relationships with locals, those things are sort of, you run out of time for them. And so we really wanted to front load those things as the most important things. And so we structure our team meetings. We begin with time in the Word together. And then we look at some biblical principles. We mentioned briefly some biblical principles just for review that we want to be shaped by. And then we transition into a time where we, each unit of the team, is sharing about their opportunities they had the last week to share the gospel, to meaningfully identify as a believer, to share spiritual truth. And then we also ask them to share, what are your two priority people for this next week that you want to share the gospel with or that you want to invest in as a believer? And we pray then. We spend time praying for each individual after they share. And it's only after then we've spent time in the Word and looked at biblical principles and really focused on our ministry relationships with locals and gospel proclamation that then we get to a section where we can talk about details. And the reality is so many of those things can happen by text and email and other kinds of communication. And so if we run out of time in a team meeting for these logistical details, it's really okay. We did the most important things. And so we're seeking to really hold to these emphases, even in the way that we structure a team meeting. And I've found that so far to be life-giving for us and for our team as well. As they've said, we've really been enjoying team meetings. Team meetings are not a drag. And so that's encouraging as a team meeting, team leader, to be like, wow, you're enjoying our meetings. We also follow it up with a meal whenever we can. And so that makes it extra enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's important to mention. Like, so we're not only like teaching correct truth to people, but we're caring for them as individuals. And that means like listening to them. What are the things they're walking through? How has this last week been? How can we be praying for them? How can we be sharpening and supporting them? But then you can't replace time together. But at the same time, you don't want to be together every night or every day of the week, because you want to be with your focused people. So I think there is a balance there and a tension of leading in an excellent way means teaching truth, means guiding and shepherding according to that truth, but also caring for these people along this journey. What are some ways that you've recognized that you need to know, or things you would like to know about with a person on your team?
Yeah, I think that we have recognized, especially through seasons of team conflict, that it's vitally important to know one another deeply and to, as much as we can, to understand what has shaped this person on my team. In terms of their unique personality, their unique upbringing, the churches they've been a part of, the different overseas contexts that they've been a part of. And to know those things, but also to seek to validate those things and to really build a team culture where we're saying, let's get to know what has shaped one another. And then let's explicitly mention how those different contexts that have shaped us, like God is going to use those contexts to bring unique perspective and help to this particular context. And I think that one of the most discouraging things on the field is when you feel like where you come from doesn't matter. Your past experience doesn't matter to your team leader. You're a first termer. It doesn't matter if you've been in ministry anywhere else. None of that matters. You know, you're new here, and so you just need to be quiet and listen up. Whereas we're trying to build a culture where we say, no, you've been in this country. You spent a number of years in that country. You spent a number of years in ministry in the States. Your family was in ministry, or you grew up in this city, and God in his sovereignty is going to take all of those experiences. He shaped you like really for this moment. And so we want to know people, and we also just want to honor the gifts of the Spirit that he has distributed to every believer, and to say, you might not see it now, we might not see it now, but the Spirit has given you particular gifts that when we find them and when they're fanned into flame, God is going to use them in a powerful way in this context. And so to really know our friends and to really affirm the presence of the gifts of the Spirit in them, those have been some ways that we have really seen help. And it helps us to be patient. It helps us to be compassionate with our team members. One of my team members, I'm her 15th team leader.
Wow.
And knowing that gives me just compassion. And when we're in different kinds of discussions, and maybe there's frustration over the turnover and all the changes and things like that, if I didn't know that about her, I might be quicker to say, you're out of line here, this is not appropriate. But because I know that, I'm able to be just more understanding and more compassionate, I think, in a healthy way.
Yeah, for sure. And again, I think how much perspective would a person have that has been through all those different experiences? They definitely are a valuable part of the team. I think, not despising anyone that mm-hmm. the Lord has mm-hmm. brought by his good providence to be a part of this work. Just like in pastoral ministry, not despising any member that the Lord has brought to be a part of your congregation. And to be a part of the work. And I really love what you said about that everyone has a role to play, mm-hmm. that we have been made new in Christ, and that we have been given this ministry of reconciliation, each one of us. Mm-hmm. And so every believer in that place has the ability to share their faith, mm-hmm. has the ability to point the vast lost population to Christ. And I think that it does say something about the Lord when we can't recognize other believers as helpful mm-hmm. and useful mm-hmm. in the task of spreading the gospel.
Yeah.
So your team, would you say that your team is a church?
No, our team is not a church. Our team currently overlaps with two local churches. So we would view our team, like Paul's apostolic band, as being a structure that exists for the church to plant new churches. It's complementary to the local church, but it is not a local church itself. Now, if members of the team covenanted together to become a church, there could be a high degree of overlap between the team and the church. But right now we're overlapping with two local churches. We're members in two different local churches, and we hope to be overlapping with many more local churches in the future as more church plants get going. And that's how we navigate that question of, is the team a church? Mm-hmm. We would say, no, it shouldn't be, but it should exist in a complementary relationship as it plants new churches, just like we see in Acts.
That's good. That's good. And I ask that because so many teams stumble over that, particularly if there is a good number of them and they're all with one organization or all from one country. They can tend to just kind of clump up together, and then they just start doing the elements of what it means to be a church together. But it prevents them very often from going deep in national relationships with local believers and in partnering with local believers to see churches planted in that mother tongue context. And for me, some of the sweetest years, I've had great relationships with other expatriates and other foreigners, even, people that I never met. I just met them on the field. But the sweetest years and the most effective work that the Lord allowed our family to be a part of were definitely alongside these national brothers and sisters. And really, just being a part of that work, learning from them, as well as sharpening them and really leading forward with them to see churches planted, to see a church revitalized. And yeah, I think that is something that is so sweet. And so as we as foreigners find ourselves in a foreign context seeking for the health of that place, as we seek to share the gospel, as we seek to lead other believers towards propelling this gospel forward, we cannot be so arrogant as to think that these few believers, though they be few here, don't have anything to offer, and that the Lord wouldn't delight to use them even as much as he is going to use us, a fumbling foreigner, to propel his name in this context.
Amen.
This is a great conversation. Teaming is something that is really important to talk about. And I thank you for giving us good insights. And we're excited about the ways that you are leading your team. And we will pray the Lord would give you great unity, and that he would also give you all great joy just as you focus upon him and his word and see this gospel advance.
Yeah, thanks
in
for
the Middle East.
Thanks for letting me be part of the conversation.
Yeah, we love it. Okay, well, we'll see you all later. Thank you for joining us for this podcast segment.